How did you first become interested in New Orleans music?
Jazz Fest. That's what did it for me. I had some friends in D.C. that I just started getting into performing music because I'd always been, you know, a fan of music and just, you know, loved it. And I grew up, you know, in the 70s and 80s, so I you know, back when there was a good variety of music on the radio. But I never really got into performing until like much later in life. And the group of friends that I met through music were like, you have to come to Jazz Fest. You have to come with us. It's just the most amazing experience. I got there, like 7 of us shared a hotel room, and they brought me to this incredible place. I mean, I'd gone to see live music a lot, you know, and I'm performing in bands, but seeing it performed the way that people do it down here, where like live music is a way of life. And people were performing, you know, because I was singing in like cover bands and you know, and some bands that did original music, but it just, down here, it's like, you know, there are performers that play live original music. And they're sort of, you know, local celebrities. And I got a real sense of that when I came down and, you know, and going to the fest and seeing just all the great music and the food and just, you know, how everybody's just so happy. You know, you can't be sad at Jazz Fest. It's not possible, you know. And I got that, you know. And a friend of mine took me, you know, in the group. He dragged me over and he's like, okay, we are going to go see the most important man in all of New Orleans music. Turns out it was Alan Toussaint. And as he's doing all these amazing songs that I'd heard before but didn't know that he wrote them, and, you know, it was like every other song was like, oh, yeah, oh, that's a Pointer's song. Oh, yeah, that's that Robert Palmer song, you know. And I realized, wow, this guy's written a lot of good stuff, you know. And so the funniest thing, because I remember during that set, he taught me the word to, you know, Yes We Can, the little chorus, you know, Yes We Can, No We Can, Yes We Can, you know. So by the end of the song, I had it down. And just in a little aside, funny story, was that years later, after I moved here, I got to sing backup for Alan Toussaint at Jazz Fest.
Wow.
In 2007. When we were rehearsing, we rehearsed that song. And I was so proud of myself because I was like, oh, I know this one. I learned this back, you know, on my first Jazz Fest. And so we get to the show and we're on stage and we're doing this whole really great set of all these wonderful songs, and everybody is on the Acura stage, and it's, you know, just an amazing, probably the one of the most spectacular hours of my life. Well, he cut that song from the set. I'm like, no, I've been rehearsing this for 15 So I have yet to perform that song with Alan.
It'll happen.
One day.
I think it's so cool about NOLA is that it's something that, like, going from being a fan of the music in the fest to, like, ending up, you know, on stage playing at the fest, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was lucky enough to get, when I got my first Jazz Fest gig, you know, with my own band last year, when they interviewed me in the Times-Picayune, Molly Reed, you know, the writer, she really touched on that. And for me, it was just such an honor to be playing this festival that literally changed my life. And, you know, I'd been down to New Orleans for my first Jazz Fest. I just went as a tourist over, like, you know, Memorial Day weekend or something, you know, and I had a great time and fell in love with the city, but it was nothing like when I came for Jazz Fest. Oh, my God, this is incredible. People get to do this all the time here.
Jazz Fest is like all those New Orleans things just crammed together all at once. It's like everything tightened up, you know, into like 2 weekends of just musical insanity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's still like that for me. I mean, Jazz Fest is never going to get old.
No.
This past Jazz Fest, you know, I've kind of become a little, I spend much too much time on Facebook. And what I do is I obsess about my Facebook status. And what I did over Jazz Fest, and I did it the first weekend, and the second weekend I just got too busy to do it. But what I did on my Facebook status was I put down everybody that I went to go see and every bit of food that I had at the fest.
Nice.
And it was really cool because a lot of people were, like, really responding to that, you know. But then by the second weekend, I was like, you know, I can't do this every day.
No. On the stage and you're, like, texting, right? Like, singing the song, you know.
Yeah.
Drum solo,
oh,
like, no.
If I ever do that.
No. That's too much. You need to put the phone down. You play so many different styles of music and so open to work with so many different people, too, you know. Do you try to, like, approach different styles of music differently, or?
Yeah, you know, I just jump in. And, you know, head first and hope that it's a soft landing. you know, I love singing and I love making music with other people, you know, and because I don't play an instrument, for me, if I can harmonize or if I can, you know, play along with anyone, no matter what instrument they're playing, you know, even if it's just drums, you know, I love just creating something and, you know, with other people. You know, that's what I love about being a New Orleans musician is that I get to do that, you know. Everything for me is a learning process, you know, especially, okay, well, going back to the Alan Toussaint thing, you know, when I did that Jazz Fest gig with him, I also did, I think it was, yeah, the first weekend, I performed with Michael Skinkis and Moyuba, which is like an Afro-Cuban band, jazz band, or that sings songs to the spirit of, you know, the Santa Maria. In the Yoruba religion, so it's in a different language. So I had to learn all these songs, like 7 or 8 songs, for this, because it was my first gig with them was Jazz Fest.
Oh,
so I had to learn all these songs in this African dialect, and learn the music also, so not just the words, but the music, and perform them at Jazz Fest, and then the following week, I had to learn backup parts for a whole bunch of Alan Toussaint songs. Meanwhile, attending Jazz Fest every day. I really felt like a real musician, you know, because not only was I performing at Jazz Fest, which, you know, to me is like the ultimate, you know, anywhere, anytime, you know, even if I like got a gig at the Grammys, it would be nothing like my Jazz Fest experiences.
Right.
And not only with, you know, with my own band, which was a spectacular thing, and it, you know, that's a memory I'm going to take with me forever, you know, but even, you know, when I'm on stage just performing, like with the Chief Monk Boudreaux, the last couple of years, he's let me just get up on stage and sing backup. I just get up there. I mean, you know, I don't get paid. It's just a fun thing to do. But even that, it's like, you know, you're looking out and you're seeing all these wonderful people, you know, who you would be dancing with if you weren't on stage. You know? And it's just this, you know, and there's a lot, you know, so many familiar faces and stuff, and it just makes it just, you know, all the more special. But, like, that particular year, it really, you know, because I really had to study and learn and know my stuff. You know, I couldn't fake it with either of them, you know, with Moyuba or with Alan Toussaint, you know. So it was like, I really felt like that year was the year that I could honestly say, yes, I'm putting this in quotes, the big time, you know.
Right.
You know, New Orleans big time. Yeah, you know, because that's really, and that's how I, you know, with all the music that I play with other people, because, you know, it's all a learning experience for me, especially if you're playing somebody else's music, you know, somebody's original music, and you're putting your stamp on it, whether it's, you know, harmonies, or if I'm singing lead on something that somebody else has written, you know, it's all, I'm learning, and I just love that. You know, I love that I get to do that with people, and you know, when I write my songs, I have a specific thing of how I'd like to hear it in my head, and when, like, my band, when they give me ideas and stuff, you know, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, that worked. I'm learning from them. It's a cool thing for me. It's a real privilege to be able to be trusted, you know, with other people's music. If I don't have a good time, then for me, musically, it's not worth it, you know? And the challenge is exactly that. I'm learning, and I'm you know, challenging myself here, and I'm saying, all right, you know, you got to step up. You're a professional. Somebody's depending on you to make their music, you know, shine. And, you know, I don't want to let them down. So, yeah, I got to step up.
You know? Where do you live in NOLA?
I'm in the Musician's Village.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah. I was very, very fortunate that I qualified for a house, you know, very early on when they, you know, made the announcement that they were taking applications. I was like, you know, all right, I'm doing it. You know, I'm a musician, and I'd only been living in New Orleans a short time, but I was displaced by Katrina, lost everything, and so I felt like I'm a New Orleanian. Now, you know, I survived Katrina and I came back, you know, with a weekend's worth of clothing. And so, you know, I felt like, well, all right, you know, I'm going to apply. And fortunately, you know, I was able to qualify and, you know, got to build my house and met a lot of wonderful people along the road. And it's been good. You know, around the corner, the Ellis Marsalis Center is being built. Well, it's going to be beautiful for one thing. Yeah, you know, I can already tell it's going to be a very lovely, lovely building. But there's going to be music going on in there. You know, it's going to be a music community center. It's going to have classrooms, rehearsal space, performance space. It's going to have an auditorium, and it's going to be right around the corner from my house, and I can't wait. You know, there's going to be some really good stuff going on in there. Yeah, it's very exciting.
I like the kids are like out there and like really trying to do some new stuff.
Yeah, you know, I am part of a social aid and pleasure club called the New Orleans Bayou Steppers, and we are part of the umbrella of Silence and Violence, that organization. You know, we're involved with them. You know, Baby Landis, who started it, is one of our members. One of the things that they do is they hold a youth music clinic at the Stone Cafe, and Shamar Allen and his band, they put it on. And it's really neat because they're, you know, they're these kids come and they learn music, and it's a really cool thing to watch. I've done a couple of fundraisers for them, and the last one I did was a Christmas one, and it was so much fun. We had like a little Christmas sing-along, and I got a bunch of Christmas songs, and Matt Clark, who's Shamar's guitar player, he and I just did a little sing-along, and just all the kids were singing, and it was just so neat, because they were like, you know, there was no shyness in the room. Like, you know, one kid was like, oh, I want to play a song, so we run up to the piano, and he plays, and the little girl, you know, she's like in the back in the corner, and all of a sudden, you know, I said, does anybody want to sing? And she like runs up to the microphone, you know, and it's just so neat to see that there's, you know, kids who are embracing music, and their parents are encouraging them to do it, and it's a really, really cool thing to see. And, you know, I'm older than I look, let's put it that way. And, you know, there's a whole younger generation of kids that are performing now. You know, I mean, they're in their early 20s. I mean, I can call them kids, but, you know. But it's a really neat thing to see that there's this whole new generation of New Orleans musicians that are coming out and doing their own thing, and they're incorporating old New Orleans music with new stuff, you know, like Shamar's doing, you know, everything from hip-hop to trad jazz mix, you know, and
that's right, right.
It's,
yeah.
It's a really neat thing to see that there's a tradition, you know, even though, you know, there are times when I feel that New Orleans doesn't embrace its musical history the way it should, it's still there. You know, there are people who are embracing it, and that younger generation is what's, you know, they're carrying the torch along to, you know, to the next, they're the bridge right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool, and it's keeping it alive. And, you know, I've only been here 6 years,
right.
And or seven years. I still have so much to learn about New Orleans music. And somebody told me, you know, when I first moved here, I was unemployed for a while, and they said, you know, and I was just sort of at home trying to figure things out and hanging out in the house and stuff. And someone said to me, listen to WWOZ every chance you get, because you will learn about New Orleans music.
Uh-huh.
And they were so right. And I had that radio on all the time, in my car, in my house, and everywhere. And I learned so much, and still have so much to learn about music, you know, current stuff, old stuff, you know, way old stuff, you know, like Sidney Bechet, you know, like that old. You know, just like, it's, even though he left, he's still from here, you know.
Right, right.
But it's, you know, but like learning stuff like that, you know, like, you know, he was here and he went to France and carried on that, but everything he learned was here in New Orleans, you know, and same thing with Louis Armstrong, you know. I mean, he left, but he took his roots with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's very few places that can say that. There's a lot of history in the United States, but, you know, that really old, like New Orleans is older than the United States, actually.
Right.
Technically, you know? And, you know, it's like 1718 was when the Danville brothers came here, and 1776 was when Declaration of Independence was signed.
There we go.
It's like, yeah, you know, New Orleans is older than the United States, you know? And
right.
So, you know, there's a lot of history in that. It's just a constant learning, you know, learning thing living here. I mean, even if you're not a musician, you know, the appreciation for the history is something that, you know, it's just, that's never, you know, that's something that we all get to take part in.
The full amount of New Orleans music is just staggering. It's not just tied into jazz. It's not just funk. It's like everything is covered, you know, and it's all done in New Orleans style.
Yeah, and it's neat because, like, one of the really great things about New Orleans musicians, most of them anyway, is that, you know, there is, like, this camaraderie, but it's like we all get it. We understand how special New Orleans is and New Orleans music is. Just recently, I played a party where, and oh my God, I forgot his last name. Played on a lot of Dr. John. You played drums on a lot of Dr. John's early stuff. Fred, oh God, I forgot his name. I'd have to Google him to remember what his last name was. I think it starts with an S. He played drums with the band that I was sitting in with. This guy, you know, he's history.
Yeah.
You know? And here it is, you know, I'm at the Blue Nile singing a song, singing one of my songs.
Uh-huh.
And here's this guy, you know, playing. And the funny thing was that, like, did, you know, my song, Baby La La, which, uh-huh. you know, that's like the first song I ever wrote after coming to New Orleans. The first song I ever wrote ever, you know, and that it was like on the airplane ride back. For my first jazz fest, I started writing this song. So it's got like this New Orleans kind of street beat to it. I've always had like a little bit of a second line kind of feel to it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I turn around to the guy and I'm like, I said, yeah, this one's got kind of a Bo Diddley, New Orleans-y kind of thing. You know, he busts out this, you know, this Dr. John drum, you know. I just turned around for a second and I was like, wow, okay, he's fooled me. And then later on I find out who he is, you know,
yeah.
He introduces himself to me and tells me, because I'm actually friends with, before I moved to New Orleans, I was living in L.A. and I worked as a travel agent with Lorraine Rebenek, who's Dr. John's ex-wife.
Uh-huh.
And so I worked with her and her daughter, Jenny. He says to me, he says, hey, you know, I'm friends with, you know, I played with Dr. John, I'm real good friends with Lorraine, and I'm going to tell her I saw you. And I just thought, what a surreal conversation to be having with somebody where it's like, you know, he's telling me that he's friends with someone that I knew back when I was living in L.A., who happens to be Dr. John's ex-wife, and, you know, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to tell her I ran into you, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that's cool, you know.
Right.
You're like, where else could that happen?
Right.
It'd be a normal thing.
New Orleans is such this, it's like tight-knit community that, like, everybody knows everybody, you know?
Yeah, tight-knit, that's exactly what I was searching for. Yeah, it is. I mean, I've had a couple of incidents where I've sort of been a little disappointed with how I've been treated by musicians, but most of it's kind of that old boy network kind of thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
But those have been so encouraging, and to get a compliment from somebody who's been playing music here for a long time, that really means a lot. It's a beautiful thing to get a compliment from the audience, but it really means something when fellow musicians are telling you that what you're doing is all right with them, you know? that's really where it really means something. I mean, for, you know, for Alan Toussaint to say, hey, you want to sing back up for me? You know? I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing something right. I felt like a real member of the club there, you know?
How'd that come about?
Well, I am friends with a girl who, her name's Candy Collins, and she lives in D.C. She's always been a big jazz fest fan, and I kind of knew her from D.C. because we have mutual friends, but then when I evacuated with Trina, so I back up to D.C. for a few months, and, you know, because of this, you know, this love that she has for New Orleans, and she was trying to do what she could to try and help, so she was putting together some benefit concerts, and one of them was for Marva Wright. She found out that Marva had evacuated to the D.C. area, so she finds her, and she decides to put this show together for she asked Marva to play and to benefit for Marva. So she asked me if I wanted to open for Marva.
Oh.
And so we kind of developed a friendship from there. So she is also friends with Alan Toussaint. So when Alan was in town, it was the first weekend of Jazz Fest that year when I was doing the gig with Michael Stingis, I was hanging out at Le Bon Ton, you know, on Magazine Street, and he's there.
Okay.
Alan Toussaint.
What?
Standing in front of Le Bon Ton. So Candy's there also. You know, she and I were hanging out, and she'd come in for Jazz Fest. And here's Alan. And so we get to talking, and she introduces me, and she'd already talked to him about me, because she sent him my CD. And he listened to it and actually critiqued it and like, you know, gave me some really great compliments. So when we met in person, you know, he says, you know, yeah, it's really nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, would you like to sing backup for me next weekend at my Jazz Fest gig?
Wow.
And then after I, you know, had to take a breath and keep from almost fainting, I said, sure. And that's how it happened. You know, and we got together for a rehearsal, and yeah, it was amazing.
What New Orleans artist would you like to work with that you haven't yet?
Anders Osborne. And I don't even have to think.
That was quick. Yeah, you were quick on the draw.
He's definitely my favorite contemporary songwriter in New Orleans. He's amazing. He was probably, when I first came for Jazz Fest, you know, then, you know, when I went back to D.C., there were some New Orleans bands that were coming up to D.C., you know, like any time any New Orleans artist would come to D.C., I had to be there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and everybody in the audience was Jazz Fest people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Anders was one of the first that came up. Anders and the Iguanas, I remember the first two bands that I saw outside of New Orleans in D.C. One or 2 years later, I was in a band that got to play the High Sierra Music Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And Anders, this was back when he was still with Teresa Anderson, the two of them played at High Sierra. And I'm walking through the crowd, and I see them just walking through the crowd. So I stopped, and I said to Anders, I said, I'm a really big fan. I mean, here we are in California, you know, like neither of us are in our own home, yet I've got this, you know, this admiration society going on for these musicians. And I said, you know, I'm a really, really big fan. I love what you do. And, you know, I'm just dabbling, you know, and I said, I'm performing here, you know, as a musician too. I said, but, you know, I'm on the little stage. And he goes, don't worry about it. Keep it up. You'll be on the big stage pretty soon, you know. And I always, no matter what you say about Anders, because, you know, everybody's got an opinion about him, you know, as a person, you know, he's quite the personality. That always stayed with me, you know, he didn't have to say that.
Right.
He didn't have to say anything, really. and it was like, I just thought, wow, you know, that was really nice. And so years later, when I moved to New Orleans, and, you know, I got to start playing on the big stages, so to speak. You know, I always remembered what Anders said, and then one day I ran into him, and, you know, I'd gone up to him and talked to him in the first year that I was living in New Orleans. I was still, you know, a little intimidated. But then one day he just happened to be outside of a club somewhere, and a mutual friend or something was talking to him, so I felt comfortable enough to walk up to him. And I reminded him of that, you know. I said, I just wanted to tell you something, you know. And I said, this was so many years ago, and you know, I just thought that was just the nicest thing to say. And I said, you know, if anybody says anything about you, I'm going to tell them, Dennis is a good guy. And then, you know, and he was sort of like, yeah, well, you're probably not the only one. Thanks for that. You know, but I always said that would be like the ultimate, like the brass ring would be if I could work with Anders in some capacity, whether it's, you know, whether it's like, you know, if I'm singing on a project that he's doing, or whether he writes a song for me or with me, that would be the most awesome, the utmost would be, you know, if I could write a song with him, but just perform with him. You know, I got to sing with him once, but it was kind of he just happened to be playing, and people were just kind of coming up and singing songs and stuff, and so it wasn't really, like, it was a performance, obviously, and, you know, he was there, but it wasn't, you know, just like, you know, when I first came to Jazz Fest, you know, I knew down the road eventually, yeah, one day I'd get to play, you know, never thinking that I'd actually play with my own band, but you know, but it happened. And so I kind of feel like that's going to happen, you know, with Anders. I think, you know, eventually, with me living here long enough, I'm going to perform with everybody that I really, really want to perform with. And it's been happening, you know. I'm like, checking that list off. You know, okay, Alan Toussaint, Marvin Wright, you know. So, you know, Anders is on that list, right? You know, I'm gunning for him.
He's next on the list.
Yeah. You know, if it's like 5 years from now or 5 days from now, it's going to happen.
Right. It'll be 5 days or 5 years.
Right.
You don't know when it's going to be. It'll just happen.
Yeah. And I can wait. It's not a problem.